Hi, I'm Jared Sylvesta, host of Repurposed. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast.
Too often you see a room full of family members too focused on what's going on in the palm of their hand when they've got a family member sitting right across from them. That they're completely missing out on an opportunity to connect and grow in a deep relationship with them.
Hey everybody, welcome to Repurposed. I'm your host, Jared Sylvesta of Taegis Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. We believe that there are three components to having true wealth. Number one, having purpose. Number two, having impact on other people. And number three, leaving a legacy. At the heart of our company and the heart of this podcast, that is the type of life that we are trying to inspire with people. If you want more information, you can give us a call anytime at 320-222-4236, or you can visit us online at taegisfinancial.com. Well, on this week's show, I'm bringing you an interview I had with a friend of mine named Mark Henderson. He lives in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, but he's also the founder of The Inspired Legacy, which is a platform and a ministry dedicated to inspire and equip men to be the best fathers they can be. Mark is in his lower 40s. He has three children of his own, but he would admit that he wasn't the most intentional father early on in his fatherhood journey. And in this podcast, we have a spirited discussion about parenting, a topic we are both very passionate about. And Mark talks about his own fatherhood journey, what went well, what hasn't gone well, and how he and his wife have adapted to raising children in today's, you know, what we would probably say tricky society. Mark also gives three key areas of a father's life that needs to be managed if we want to lead our own children boldly into adulthood. Here's my chat with Mark Henderson. What is the ultimate purpose of a father? What is that? How would you articulate that?
Gosh, that's such a hard question. I think the common answer that you'd probably hear a lot is, you know, I want my kids to be more successful than I was.
Yeah.
But what is success really? I mean, I think in a lot of ways, success is something that society has invented.
Right.
In my mind, you know, our purpose is fathers, and this could be an hour long podcast in of itself, but I think that if we can equip our kids to be joyful, no matter the circumstances they've been dealt in life, that goes a long way in raising healthy kids. If we can show them how to live a life of contentment, you know, I think the American dream, and not that there's anything wrong with chasing the American dream, but in a way it's sort of made up of just acquiring a lot of stuff.
Right.
That isn't always healthy. So I think that if we can, and again, it's not bad to chase that stuff, but if we basically teach them to not place their self-worth in those things and just find contentment in what they have. That's something that fathers can bring to the table. And then I think helping them build their confidence, and positively reinforcing their self-image, starting at a very early age, from the earliest moments that they're able to realize, oh, I did a good thing. I should do that again. And my dad likes it when I do that. And up through, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, when they're really discovering who they are and what they can do and what they can't do and what they need to rely on mom and dad's help for. And,
right.
And then just reinforcing their self-image. And then I think, lastly, really just showing them in our everyday actions what love looks like. And that ranges from, how we love our spouses to how we treat strangers at the store. I mean, our kids are literally like sponges. They see and absorb everything that we do. And so when we demonstrate those principles, they see what it's like to really love people like God intended.
Yeah, yeah. I want to get into how you did this, because you've got a 22-year-old, Alyssa, and you've got a 9-year-old. So I'm assuming the way that those two were raised, maybe a little bit less intentionality on the first one than the third one. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, I think that's a pretty fair statement.
Talk about some of those major changes. Like, what is something that you did, more so in the last couple of years, to kind of drive home these 4 or 5 points that you just listed out?
With our oldest, when we have such a wide age range of kids, we've experienced parenting in the non-digital age, and we've experienced parenting in the digital age.
Yeah.
And, you know, the advent of these tablets and these handheld devices that our kids seem to be glued to these days has really, really thrown a wrench into how we deal with our time and how we spend time with our kids. Because it not only impacts our kids, it impacts mom and dad too, right?
You bet.
So I think with our oldest, we probably took a more traditional approach of, you know, finding time to do books and go to the park and all the healthy things that you think of when you think of raising kids. And we do that with our youngest as well, but, you know, now we've got screen time to deal with.
Right.
And, you know, they go to school and all the friends talk about video games and apps on the phones, and they come home and that's all they want to do. And it's, I applaud parents for anybody out there who is holding off to getting their kid a cell phone or a tablet. Keep fighting that fight.
Yeah.
But eventually, I think we all kind of give into it, and we have. But when we gave into it with our older kids, you know, it was the first generation of kids that really had those things that really demanded their time.
Right.
And we didn't really have any experience to fall back on, or it's not like we can call up our mom and dad and say, "Hey, how do you handle screen time?" Because they never had to deal with it.
Yeah.
But now with our youngest, we've got some experience to fall back on, and we have to be very intentional about limiting how much screen time that they have.
Yeah.
Because it's super easy and tempting to just, you know, here's your Kindle, go off and play.
Right.
And then I don't have to worry about you because it's built-in babysitter. But
yeah.
Man, it's not doing your kids any favors. So we've been really intentional in defining parameters and setting time limits. And using it as a reward system, honestly, to further reinforce some of those other principles that I mentioned.
Is there something that's kind of non-negotiable? I've chatted with other friends of mine that are guys and kind of live in this wavelength of just living intentionally. Is there something that's a non-negotiable, like every night we do this as a family, or under no circumstances is something going to trump the importance of fill in the blank? Is there something for you and your family?
Yeah, I credit my wife with this one. We, with very, very few exceptions, do we allow any sort of device, and I keep going back to devices, but we don't allow devices at the dinner table. And so, I mean, we really cherish our time together as a family at the dinner table. And granted, it doesn't happen every single night because
right.
We've got, you know, some nights we've got piano lessons, and other nights we've got, you know, an athletic event at the school. There's always something going on, but when we are able to sit down and have a meal together as a family, we cherish that.
Yeah,
and we don't want any distractions. We don't want kids looking at their phones. We want them dialed in at what's going on in that moment and talking about their day, you know, finding out what happened and, you know, what was the best part of your day, what was the least favorite part of your day, and really connecting in those moments. And so, like I said, if there's anything that we can do to make sure that family dinner happens, we try to make that happen.
Yeah, that's good. What about the difference between boys and girls? Is there a different approach from a father that we need to take when it comes to boys and girls? Obviously, there's a difference there. We're trying to, you know, raise our men, our boys to be men, and women and our girls to be, you know, cherished people who look at themselves with self-worth. I mean, how do you navigate through that?
Yeah, great question. When you figure it out, let me know.
Well, your boy is 9, right? My oldest is 7, and obviously it's Beckham. He's a boy, and I got two girls underneath there. I think, you know, from my perspective, I just want to show him what a man is. And you talked about that, how you treat your wife. And I'm glad my wife isn't listening to this right now, you know, alive as we're recording this. But I would like to think that he sees how to treat a woman by how I treat my wife. And I've had conversations with him, quote unquote, off the record, and I say, you know, our job is to cherish the gals and to make them feel loved and protect them and provide. And I love taking those little opportunities to talk to a 7-year-old about what it is to be a man. Anything to add to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you raise a great point. I mean, and I mentioned it earlier, they learn by watching what we do and how we treat other people. And so when it comes to the girls, raising girls, I hope, and I'm fairly confident that, you know, they see the love that I share with my wife.
Yeah.
And they will use that as sort of their measuring stick in the future as, you know, this is how a husband should love their wife in a healthy way. And, you know, likewise with my son, I know boys in general, they like to feel respected and that their opinion matters. And so, you know, with girls, you try to be a little more, I don't know if soft is the right word, but with boys, I try to really respect his decision making, and even if it's painful for me, I let him work the problem and think it through and discover for himself, because those lessons that he learns on his own, I think are the ones that stick with him over time. So,
Is there a way, again, your oldest is 22, do you feel, you still feel, that role as trying to father her and show her the way, even though she's an adult? And again, I can't speak from experience because my kids are young. Is there still a way to get involved to your adult children?
Yeah, and it's really rewarding, I have to say, to be in this season of parenthood with our oldest, because, you know, when she may listen to this at some point, I don't think she would argue with this. She was a real headache when she was a teenager. She dealt with a lot of, let me first clarify. She was a good girl, but typical teenage woes.
Yeah.
We had plenty of those in our household. And we just really stayed faithful in the fact that this is a season, a chapter, and that she's going to grow out of it and she's going to mature. And lo and behold, here we are. And that's exactly what's happening.
Hmm.
She is engaged to be married this June.
Nice.
And she is maturing in ways that I could have only hoped for. Everything from like little decisions that I know she would have struggled with in the past to pretty significant life decisions that she may still call and get my advice about, but she's making the right call. And in a very mature way. So that's, I don't even remember your original question, but that's, it's nice to see the sort of the evolution of kids and how they can, they come back around, and there's a point when mom and dad, you know, don't know much to, you know, mom and dad really did kind of know what they were talking about. And it's just sort of a share of mutual respect for each other.
I heard, I was chatting with a friend of mine, and he was talking about his kids. He had 3 kids, and when they were a little bit younger, he said, no matter what I put on the table, he said, one of the 3 kids, when his wife made food for dinner every night, one of the 3 kids didn't like the food. And he was just like, listen, like life's, there's going to be things in life that happen that you're not going to be happy with, you know, and he just used that as a simple example. He said, we could put T-bone steak on the table, and one of the 3 kids would have a problem with it. And he's like, that's just the way life is. And I think that, you know, that my wife and I have learned that lesson slowly over the last, especially just couple of years recently, where it's like, we're the parent. Our job is to show you love, but show you how to love and show you how to have self-respect and treat others and respect. And really, your happiness kind of comes last, because then it comes down to those decisions that a 22-year-old gal who's now getting married is making the right decision, because that's what it's all about, is that decision there, not, you know, the fact that you didn't like what kind of food was on the table 17 years prior to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I hear you clucking when you're talking about the problems at the table, because we're going through that with our 9-year-old. It's like, no matter what you put in front of them, there's always a problem. But, you know, I think a lot of parents would be quick to say, oh, you don't like that? Here, let me get you something else.
Right.
But what favors are you doing for them there when you think of the long-term scenario that we've been talking about?
Do you think parenting habits have really changed? I find myself saying that a lot. I'm like, well, my parents didn't say that. I can hear my dad saying right now, like, Well, I guess you'll be hungry enough. At some point, you'll eat. You know what I mean? Like that. Have we changed as a society? Have we changed parenting styles? What has changed most, do you think, since when we've been kids?
Boy, part of me sometimes wonders if it has to do with the part of the country that you live in. I feel like in the Midwest here, we are maybe still a little bit closer to old school parenting.
Yeah.
Versus on the coast. But I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a really good question. I think that generally speaking, I do feel like parents are a little more apt to just appease their children versus really standing their ground and committing to a decision on principle.
And that's tougher now because what I see, and again, this is just what I've seen, so there's no study done on this observation, but what I see differently now than 20, 30 years ago is that families are just way busier now, like way, way busier.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I grew up in a small town in southwestern Minnesota back in the 80s and early 90s, and I love taking my kid out to the park, and I tell him all the time, like, this is what I did. This was really it. Like, even up through high school. Like, I remember in high school, I'm playing at the park with my friends playing basketball, you know, and I see these kids, and it's like they run, and families run, and if you know my story, which a lot of you maybe listening to this do or maybe don't, but we've just been very intentional to just try to like create as much simplicity in our life as possible to try to raise our kids in an environment that we were raised. You know, we're constantly trying to fight the societal norms, and that's just us. But to me, that's where I see the biggest, you know, if I could call it a breakdown, it's the level of busyness and distraction in parents' lives nowadays compared to when our parents were our age. You know what I mean? And maybe I'm off on that, but that was just kind of what I've seen and observed over the years.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think we really, again, generally speaking, kind of suffer from a disease, and it's called busyness.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have very little margin in our lives to just exist in each other's company. You know, we're chasing our tails.
Yeah.
You know, and it's usually related to entertaining the kids or something that revolves around the kids.
Right.
Not that that's necessarily bad,
right.
But when your entire day and week revolves around your kids, I think that creates a negative perception for them.
Right.
And yeah, we could go on and on.
I wish I had the right. But, I wish I had the right answer, but it's just, there's something that's missing, and I want to be as intentional as I can with my family. It sounds like you are the same, you know, for sure. Mm-hmm. To want to try to just again not do whatever that is and have that breakdown. Is it? Do you think it's the busyness? Where the biggest breakdown would be busyness and just time to exist with each other? I thought that was a great way of putting it. Do you think we just don't have that as much anymore?
It sure doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
You know, and you mentioned distractions too. I think that, you know, in generations past, you know, in moments when like where we now like jump on our phones and surf Facebook, those are the times when families would gather and just have a conversation. Or maybe just watch TV together, which is still a form of screen entertainment, but at least you are all focused on the same thing, enjoying the same thing together in the same moment.
Yeah.
I think too often you see a room full of family members too focused on what's going on in the palm of their hand when they've got a family member sitting right across from them that they're completely missing out on an opportunity to connect and grow in a deep relationship with them.
And the irony behind this is that this is coming from a marketing technology guy like yourself.
I know. I might get in trouble.
Don't let your boss hear you say that. You know, but it's true, and I've heard this is true. I read an article that was interviewing, I think it was Steve Jobs, and he was asking what his home life was like. And this interviewee was envisioning, like, his home, you know, like tables and furniture were made out of iPods and iPhones. And he was like, we don't let our kids on those things. And because we want to act, not shelter is not the right word, but we want to protect our kids from those types of distractions. Because I think even those people, those high level CEOs of these huge technology companies, understood the cost in the distraction in the family. You know what I mean? And I think that is totally huge. What people listening right now? Let's say somebody's listening right now, a father, and they have three kids like you and I do, and they feel like they're caught up in the rat race. Maybe not the rat race isn't the right word, but they're caught in the busyness of life. What's one thing that they could do to just take a step back and start to adjust life a little bit differently?
I think that, and we've kind of danced around this quite a bit already, but going back to intentionality, something that I've found very valuable in my life is to sit down with my calendar and just, you know, wipe away any obligation that may already exist. Start with a blank slate. What would my ideal week look like? If I could dictate my calendar in any way, what would my ideal week look like? And just kind of carve that out. And you'll quickly realize that you're spending your time poorly in a lot of areas. And you'll also discover ways that you can improve how you're spending your time to focus on those things that really matter.
Yeah.
And so when you have that ideal week carved out, then you can kind of reconcile it against, well, what is my actual week look like, and try to marry them up the most or the best that you can. Because until you schedule time to, you know, spend time with your wife, spend time with your kids, go to the gym, read a book, you know, improve yourself, improve others, whatever that may look like, until you sit down and schedule that, it's not going to happen for most people anyway. And that's true for myself.
Yeah.
So I think, to answer your question, I think that's one practical way that you can really improve your situation by just being intentional with your daily schedule and really just carving out time for those things that really matter most.
I love it, man. Before I let you off the phone here today, I want to give you an opportunity to let people know where they can find you about the Inspire Legacy. Give a website or a plug for your platform.
You bet. Well, the easiest way probably is just to visit our website, theinspiredlegacy.com. And from there, you can find all kinds of fresh content. We try to post articles on there that relate to the things that we've talked about, time, attention, energy, best ways to protect those things, living with biblical principles in mind, people focus, discovering your purpose as a father. From there, you can sign up for our e-book, I guess is what you could call it, called 9 Ways to Be a Better Dad. It's really just a starter guide. I could have called it 999,000 Ways to Be a Better Dad, but didn't have time. But it's really just focusing in like 3 pieces of advice for dads that fall within the 3 categories, the principles, people, and purpose that I mentioned. Just parenting tips that fall within those categories. So you can sign up to receive that and stay up to date with any new cool resource or event coming up in the coming months. And from there, you can link over to our social media accounts, Twitter. We're not very active on Twitter, but pretty active on Instagram. You can like our Facebook page. And then I would encourage your listeners, if any of this resonated, join our Facebook group. It's a small group, but it's growing, and it's full of like-minded dads who really just want to be the best dads that they can be. And there they will find a lot of encouragement, support, and accountability when it comes to a lot of this stuff that we talked about.
Yeah, I love it. It's called the Inspire Legacy, inspiring and equipping fathers to be better fathers. I think this resonates with a lot of folks. It does for me. And, again, one of the most important jobs on the face of the planet, raising kids. And this is exactly what we're talking about, the family life. I love everything about this. So, Mark, I appreciate your time today. All the best with this. Again, it's called theinspiredlegacy.com. I'll put a link in the show notes here with the podcast so everybody can go there and check it out. Mark, thanks for joining me on the podcast here today.
Jared, thanks so much for having me.
All right, take care, man.
You bet.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Mark Henderson. What about those three areas of a father's life that needs to be harnessed? Remember what they were? Number one, time. Number two, attention. And number three, energy. A challenge to all you fathers listening. Harness those three things so you can model Christ's love in your kids' life. Because the most important thing that we can do is to show them what love looks like. Thank you for checking out this episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, this podcast is based on a book by Ben Tejas called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of Repurpose totally free, just go to our website, TejasFinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio. As usual, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit MyFaithRadio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast of Repurposed. This media is only available because of listener support just like you. If you want to make a gift right now, you can go to the website, myfaithradio.com, and if you do that, we would appreciate that so much. Also, thanks in advance for sharing these podcasts with your friends online. It's an easy way to help spread the impact of Repurpose. And just one more thing, subscribe. You can find Repurpose on iTunes or your favorite podcast player.